I think I had sleep paralysis last night. That was not fun.
Yikes. Dude.
Yeah. I had a big thing of nachos before going to bed, and that just
Dude.
it
Does that cause sleep paralysis?
it just annihilated me. Becky had to wake me up. She was like, "You were screaming, but like your lips weren't moving."
Do you remember?
Yes, I do.
Wait, does food do that to you?
I don't know. I've read some things where if like you eat soon before you go to bed and you have like heartburn, then it can kind of like cause weird dreams. Yeah,
Now you know to never do
I'm
it
so
again.
sorry for laughing. That
Yeah.
is a hilarious visual right after nachos.
I am so tired.
Well,
We're
let's
gonna
get
do
this so Kimiko can be in bed by 8:30.
All right. Welcome, 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 everyone. It is, I always have to pull this up on my phone because I know that we're really, really close. I think it's day 12. Is it day 12, aka episode 12? It is.
That's the wrong guy.
Day 12, aka episode 12 of The Buffs Have Spoken. We are your buffs. Today we are recapping episode 10 of season 41. But before we do that, before we go into the recap, we obviously got to do the points with Mike. I'm in mourning. I have been in mourning all week, and we will explain why. Then our little trend of today is our favorite Jeffisms. So we're excited to go over those. We're going to go over the post-tribal and kind of the next morning of what happened after voting out Nasir and Evie. We got a reward challenge. We got an immunity challenge. Just challenges. And as always, there's going to be some pre-tribal scrambling. We're going to go over kind of what happened there. We're going to have some audibles. We're going to have some things that we're going to throw in because that's just part of the game, baby. And then we're going to go tribal and just recap what happened. Yeah, I'm not very happy, but it's okay.
I don't think any of
I've
us
got
are.
one person left that maybe will get me something.
Even draft aside, it's a sad episode.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. But without any further ado, it is Kamiko, Michael, Mike, and Spencer or Sprank Derv or Spence, all here. Happy birthday, Spencer. Today we're recording on Monday.
Happy birthday,
Yay!
Spencer.
How's the week? Good, bad, medium.
Spencer, birthday boy, go first.
Yeah.
It was great. Because I had almost the entire week off. I did a lot of fun things. We hosted Thanksgiving.
Oh, nice.
My wife and I had our anniversary. We went to a fancy dinner.
I saw
We
you went to a basketball game or
went to a basketball game. The Jazz
nice.
sucked, but it was really fun.
Cool.
I found out I went to a football game in Alabama a couple weeks ago, and then I did this, and I realized being in an angry crowd when the team is losing might be more fun than winning. If I'm not too invested. So it's a blast. Also, we found out that our baby's a girl, which is awesome. Very happy
She has
about
a
that. She
gender.
has a gender.
She does. She exists. She's real.
So I told all my kids today because they've genuinely been dying to know, and I gave them all pink dum-dums, and it was a great day.
Oh, cute.
Oh, that is cute. You're the way you announced it was very funny.
Thank
Can you
you.
read the caption of how you announced that your
Can
child
we?
was a girl?
I don't
Yeah,
think I saw
just
this.
one second.
It was in like the most classic Spencer way, he
Said
announced
we're
it.
happy to have a healthy baby and we're thrilled that we've learned a little more about her today. There you go.
It's not that funny.
Kamiko texts me, he's like, "Wait, what did you find out about her?"
I think it was just like imagining Spencer saying it to his students is what killed me.
They're like, "So what did you find out?"
Take a pink dum-dum and pass it behind you. And then pop quiz. That's what I guessed probably
Wait, why
happened.
pink? Yeah.
Pink is for girls, I guess.
We're gonna play heads up, seven up. Okay, so everyone close your eyes.
Do you
I'm
play
gonna
heads up
pick on
seven up
seven of you.
still?
Huh?
Spencer, do you guys play heads up seven up still?
You know, I've never really done it with my students. but they all know what the game is. That game survives. That's
good. I love that game.
I vicariously kind of relive my childhood through me asking you questions about what it's like being in eighth grade in 2021, making sure that, you know.
Spencer, have you seen Eighth Grade as a side note?
Oh, dude. Masterpiece.
Great movie.
I love that movie.
It's a great movie. Stay Gucci, everyone. Okay, anything else? Anything else?
That's it for me.
Okay, Mike. Good, bad, medium week.
My week was, it was good. It was, what did I even do? Oh, we just had a couple game nights, played a lot of board games. I didn't go home for Thanksgiving because I couldn't get work off. But it's also hard to get work off around holidays. So I'm going home in a couple weeks. And we're doing like a Thanksgiving, Christmassy thing. So that'll be fun. So I just spent Thanksgiving. We had like a Friendsgiving, which was fun. And then I, Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving, I really wanted Thanksgiving food. So I went shopping like an idiot Wednesday night. It was fine. And I got some stuff. And then Thursday, I cooked a whole Thanksgiving meal by myself. You know, started drinking at like noon. It was pretty sweet. Burned my hand, maybe because of the drinking. I don't know. It's pretty bad, actually. Yeah.
It's a little tender.
It's a little tender. And then I just ate a bunch of food and then worked. That's all I've done. Medium week. Good week.
Okay. Oh, that sounds good. I had a good week, San Canto, which was really good.
Yes.
Oh, I want to see that so bad.
It's so good.
Yeah.
Shoot, really good. Is it on Disney Plus?
No.
Shoot. Okay. I will see it whenever I can. Dogs are barking, if you can hear
me. Oh, my dog barks sometimes. So, that was a really fun moment. And then didn't really do a whole lot, which was a really good highlight. Like, me and Becky just hung out. The Golden State Warriors are like 17-2. They're playing very good.
They're so good right now.
That's hockey, baseball. Just kidding.
Oh, I actually was like, I was like, Mike, like you, what?
Dude, my favorite.
I'm not a sport. Yeah. I'm not a sporty guy anymore, Kamiko. No. I have relieved myself of the sporting.
Probably for the better.
Adventures. Oh yeah, the only sports I watch are the World Cup every 4 years.
Oh,
that is and the Euro Cup when Viva Italia won.
Oh, bienvenuto,
my people.
I'm a big Juventus fan, so that makes sense.
Oh, nice. Okay, yeah. You Cristiano Ronaldo. What are you? A little follower, jump around.
No, I liked them. There was a
you liked them before Ronaldo.
Yeah. When I like probably like 2013, 2014. Okay. There was a few people when I was living in Chile that were playing for Juventus, and I was like, I like Juventus. Then he went there, which is kind of weird.
Yeah, now he's there.
Yeah, now he's not. He's at Manchester United.
I did not even know that. I literally only watch country, level soccer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No idea about anything.
Qualifying is almost done. The United States hopefully will qualify.
For a World Cup?
Yeah.
In 2022, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't keep up with that. When it starts, I just start watching.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a fun watch.
Yeah. I don't really care. Unless Italy does well, then I like it.
Yeah, they might not qualify, actually. Them and Portugal both might not qualify.
What in the world? After winning the Euro Cup?
Yeah, I know. Dang. Crazy, right?
Oh, shit.
That's kind of the cool thing about soccer is it's like you could be doing horribly in your league and then Champions League, you're in the semifinals. It's weird.
Yeah.
Huh. Very weird.
And then you should keep up more with that stuff. Nah, I don't care.
All right, let's get into it. Mike, you want to show some points? Wow, this is a very short tangent.
Yeah,
no Survivor, so let's
go flags
for
it. No
roughing the passer.
No, I guess.
No illegal use of hands.
Oh, I was saying flags because last episode we talked about flags for 10 minutes. It's not a sport thing, Kamiko. You don't have to make everything a sport thing. Okay?
I don't have to make it about me.
Okay, here's my Google about Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince. And here is... There we go. Okay. Points.
This makes me freaking sick, dude.
It's pretty even overall, as you can see. Spencer, of course, still wins somehow. Not a whole lot. I mean, obviously, she who must not be named yet because it's too new. It was voted out. with an idol in her pocket, unfortunately. So lost some points there. Erica, my main girl, with the episode title. And then the card swept the challenges. They did split the vote, so everyone got it right because they all split it between Liana and Shan. And then the people who got picked for award, that's it. So Kimiko and I tied for points. Spencer got one more. Pretty even week, but Spencer still won.
Just to make sure I'm jinxed, my mom did not get me a buff for my birthday because I was like, I'm feeling pretty good about getting it another way.
So you are jinxing it.
Perfect. So if I don't win that buff, like,
it's your mom's fault.
Yeah. Yeah. That was my point. Yep.
Yeah. We said it, not you.
We can finally blame someone.
Yes.
He's always like, I got to listen to your podcast. I'm like, I know you're not going to listen to it. You don't have to.
My mom's listening to some episodes. Hey mom, if you're listening.
Oh, hi, Mike's mom.
Yeah. And it's funny because she's like newly into Survivor. She's watched like 10 seasons in a few weeks, I swear.
Is she watching the new one then?
No, she's not, but she's, I don't know. Yeah, she just like has listened to a couple episodes. She doesn't really care. She's like, it's fine. Yeah.
That's good anyway, to support your son.
Yes.
Yeah. Hi, mom. Also. Did you all notice my name on Zoom or no?
Yeah, I totally know.
I did not.
I think you spelled it wrong, though.
You did indeed. I don't think it has the E at the end.
Yeah, it does not. My name today is John Cochran.
Well, no, it's John Cochrane.
John Cochrane.
Hello.
Yeah, I Cochrane.
His middle name is Martin, by the way.
He's 1,000% a Martin.
He should go by Martin. I love how he's a TV writer now. What has he written?
Star Trek. He writes for the Star Trek animated show.
I remember that. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. Because I think you and me actually looked it up, right? When we were like, right before.
Probably. It seems like something I would Google.
So good. You know what? Good job, Spencer, for the, what is it? The 10th week in a row, you're number one in points.
Seriously. But final episode, maybe Spencer will get like negative, you know, all of his remainders will quit.
Yeah.
Negative 45 points.
If that all of my,
the dream.
All three of mine quit and then you guys get the other three. So,
yeah,
I just need Deshaun to win at this point. Like, and he's probably not going to win.
No, he's not. I will say, I'm glad that we're already on. We're past episode 10 and we all still have people in the draft. My worry was that like people would be gone, you know, fully out of it by episode 7 or something. So
last pick still in there,
but Deshaun might be riling some people up. So he might be, Kimiko may be out of people after episode 11.
We'll, as we get into it later, we are in mourning. I think all of us are in mourning, but even more so Nasir, Evie, as we get back from the end of episode 9 into episode 10, it's kind of the next morning. And Deshaun and Shan are kind of having their dilemma of, do we stay together for the culture, for Black culture, or do we got to do what's best for ourselves? They've got student debt. Shan lived homeless. You know, there's all sorts of individual things, and I think that's a very good point. Is what do y'all do? Do y'all think more selfishly, or do y'all try to ride it out, or do you just not trust Deshaun because he is not trustworthy and has not proven to be so the whole time?
Well, you definitely don't trust Deshaun, but yeah. I wrote this down because I wanted to hear your guys' thoughts, because I thought it was a really good moment, just because it was like a very honest moment, which are kind of, they're not rare in Survivor, but they're kind of fun to see. And I knew that it was honest because when Deshaun did his confessional and started talking about it, he was like turning to the side and he couldn't hold his tears in. And a confessional is like a really easy way just to be honest, because there's, you can kind of just relax and not spend the effort to lie and stuff. So I do think it was like hard for Deshaun, even though he's kind of a liar. But yeah, I mean, I don't know, if I were in the game, it's kind of hard to say, because it's easy to say from the couch that you would lie and cheat your way all the way to $1 million. But once you get out there and actually meet people that you like, it'd be a lot harder, I think.
Yeah, those bonds that you form are, it's such a weird thing to bond with people. Like the amount of contestants on Survivor, I think we calculated are like maybe even less than 700, because some of them have played multiple times.
Right.
And if you think about that in the terms of the United States, it's probably barely even 0.005%.
Yeah, like you share this unique experience with a bunch of mm-hmm. different people, and yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's very easy to make fun of Jeff for his constant drop the four, keep the one.
It is very easy to do
because it's like, it's not happening, Jeff, just stop. Right. But this whole thing with Deshaun and Shan was cool because it was like a very old fashioned morality of Survivor discussion where it's like, what's more important? Because this, like, the past 10 seasons or so, like, no one really cares about the morality. It's like, did you play mm-hmm. Survivor good or not? And no one really takes it personally. Mm-hmm. And this is the first time that it didn't feel like maybe played up by the show. Like, it was like a genuine mm-hmm. moral decision they were trying to work out. And it was really cool to watch because it's like, that's actually like an old thing from the old seasons where they're trying to figure out like what's okay to do and what's not okay to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, they mentioned like how hard it's been for Black people and people of color, like especially with 2020 and coming from 2020 onwards. And I feel like the show did because it didn't seem like the show was like twisting it to be like woke or whatever. It was just like, honestly, two Black people talking about their experience. Yes. And like how their experience, how they can, you know, be respectful of their shared experience, but also you have to play Survivor and you want to win $1 million. So mm-hmm. I agree. It was a really cool moment. And Deshaun, I mean, I don't know if we love Deshaun, but it was really cool to see him and Shan.
I think something that helped a lot is Jeff tends to get involved in these moments and Jeff is not a part of it at all.
Yeah. And
he didn't really bring it up much at Tribal Council too. So it's just them talking about it and their feelings without Jeff like prodding it and trying to make it bigger. And
it was two people of color without a white guy trying to get in there and, you know, prod and ask more. Yeah. It seemed very honest and it was really cool. It was honestly really beautiful. And that's one thing that I love about Shan is that she is so good at Survivor, but she does have this kind of, almost you can feel she's putting a lot on her shoulders in terms of like representation and stuff like that.
I wonder how much the whole pastoral thing has to do. I know she had an interview on the Survivor Instagram today of how much did that affect it, and I didn't get a chance to look at it. I don't know if either of y'all did. Mm-mm. Okay.
Yeah, it's interesting. I wonder. It's funny to think of her as a pastor because she lied a ton. I mean, she did a great job as Survivor. No, you know, nothing against that, but it is funny to see a pastor out there just lying to everybody and doing the best. She played the best, literally, mm-hmm. I think, so far.
Overwhelmingly, like, the comments on her Instagram post was like, you were playing the best game, like, you were just too strong, you had to go.
She was. That's mm-hmm. if one thing you could say that she didn't do as well is holding back a little bit.
We've as a side note, probably just not any more immunity idols or people just don't have the energy to look for these immunity idols.
I just thought it was interesting because every single time someone gets voted out with an immunity idol in the last 25 seasons or whatever, the next, you know, it's not always right after, but there's usually some look for it or talk like they re-hit it, you know, mm-hmm. it's out there. So I just wonder what you guys thought if you think they did away with that. Hopefully, yeah.
But I bet they might have. I bet people are still looking. They're just not showing it because no one's finding it. But I love it because it's not that fun to watch people look for idols.
I know. No. And it's funny that two of the three idols that we have were voted out in pockets, which means people are doing a great job with blindsiding. And yeah, I love it. Not a single idol used this season so far.
That's insane.
Crazy. It's
That's
crazy.
Insane.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I want to get to the okay, let's go straight to the reward challenge because there was a moment that was very funny with the winners of it. But Ricard pretty handily winning this challenge. Really coming into his own at the perfect moment.
Ricard is going up. He's a challenge Rising beast stock. Ricard. Yeah, he's challenge beast Ricard now, and social game Ricard. But it was a good challenge. I like the combination of the rope twisty and the puzzle. It was good. Everyone was up there too. Even Heather made it out of like the rope thing, which was good. Sorry, Heather, but it was good to see all eight of them up there. The blonde lady, Kamiko, the blonde lady.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
rope,
okay.
The rope twist is a great challenge if you like watching people struggle.
Yes, like Xander was all twisted up. It was it was chef kiss to watch that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, I want to take a moment right now to look back at when we first drafted everyone. Honestly, did any of us think Ricard would be doing so well at challenges?
No. I thought Danny would be so much because you kind of think of like the big athletic, you know, ex-NFL player, but he kind of sucks.
I think Danny was really good at team challenges.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. He did do well with those, huh?
Yeah. But I don't know if this was in his bio, but I did read in a recap thing that Ricard has a dance background.
Oh, interesting.
And so it's no wonder like he was really good at the balancing immunity challenge and stuff.
But also like mental kind of being able to like, dance is more
that's
than,
endurance
more than
too.
Just physical. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. That's interesting. It's showing he killed it this episode. So
I thought it was so interesting that when he won, you know, I think he kind of picked mainly kind of like, you knew he was going to pick Shan.
Right.
Xander, for me, honestly, weirdly felt like an obvious pick. And then
really,
I don't know why. I think it's just like it's kind of weird. I like Xander.
I don't know who I would pick or who I thought Ricard would pick, but Xander was a bit weird because Xander seems just so on the outside to me. But he may have just been kind of jury managing like Danny said he was.
That's a good point. And as a future like hint as who goes, if Ricard makes it there, he has one vote from someone.
Yeah.
Unless something crazy happens. But then when Heather got called up there and she was just like, oh, I think I was like, just go get your pizza, Heather. I don't want to see you celebrate.
She was like, Me, Heather? Yeah, you.
You. Second time we've said your name all season.
No, she had a whole episode, Kamiko. Remember the Heather episode?
I know. I need to stop talking so bad. I just wish that she would. I don't know. You always just wish that people would be a little bit more active instead of passive in the game.
Yeah.
But
I did love her at Tribal. She was like, yeah, I'm at the bottom. I'm just not making a lot of decisions. And then she adds in, which is fine right now, as if she has this plan. She's like, I'm about to turn it around, Jeff. Like, no, you're not.
It's all part of the plan.
Yeah, of course. Of course it is.
A moment that I love from the reward challenge, though, is like I had mentioned, it's like, I want just a little bit more variety. I want them to be like on a boat. And guess what happens? They get to eat pizza on a boat.
Well, no,
and
it was in a tent or something.
Yeah. Well, and yeah, they got a good night's rest.
Yeah, they did. They got a
leave. Did y'all notice when Shan was eating the pizza? I think Shan was eating the pizza and she was doing her dun, dun, dun.
Yes.
Dun,
dun, dun. And Heather goes, what are you singing? And Shan was just like, oh, I'm just thinking. So
that's like, if I was going to do like top five moments that define season 41, that might be number one.
Literally. Oh, yeah. Shan humming and Heather just like, what?
It just made me think, like, how tired is Shan, or just how good is Heather's, like, how alert is Heather that she just heard it was like, what is that? What is that song? What are you singing?
I just think it's so funny that she hums it out loud.
They were all sitting like really close together, and her and Ricard have their big heart to heart, and I'm like, are Xander and Heather like right there?
I thought that, but then I think in some camera angles, and I think you could hear them, they were talking. And when I was watching it, I was like, what on earth is Xander and Heather talking about? You know, like what possible thing did they find in common? You know, I wish I knew.
But Heather was giving Xander the whole master plan.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. It's got to
stick to the plan.
Her and Xander. In the final
what was it? Just trust me.
Yeah, Trust me, Tiffany.
Yeah. Tiffany. Let me just...
Honestly, that is pretty ruthless by Heather. So we should give her a little more respect. She basically orchestrated a Tiffany blindside, kind of.
True.
Come on, Spencer, give it to her. Just give it to her.
If that happened because of whispers, then no, she didn't.
Yeah, that's true.
But it does get like you get some good. It's been really cool to see Shan and Ricard basically be like, we're going to have to show down. We're obviously the two best people in this game. And when it happens, it's going to have to happen.
I also want to say at the reward challenge, I found out that Shan is vegan, which as a vegetarian, I always love to see vegan vegetarians on Survivor. And she even said, like, Xander, you and I can chart the veggie one. And I Googled, but I couldn't find anything about Xander, but maybe Xander's also veggie. So go vegetarians.
Oh, that's so cool. Good for them.
Yeah, probably. I mean, she's probably like, I know she's vegan, but like, I think on Survivor, she tweeted some things where she's like, she was like dying for fish and at times and stuff. And so still cool. Anyway.
Well, love to see that representation for you.
It's about time. You know,
was there someone else who was vegan?
On the show? There's been quite a few. Well, I don't know about, yeah, I know that Kimmy, old school Kimmy from Australia was vegan because she hated when they killed the chicken, like bawling. I think Ty was vegetarian.
Oh, that makes sense.
Angelina from Dave vs. Goliath, she was vegetarian.
I don't believe you because if she was, she would have mentioned it every 5 minutes.
Well, she did say, at least Jeff mentioned it, I think, once because there was like a burger reward. And Jeff said something like, and there's veggie burgers. And she was like, oh, veggie burgers. And I found out that she was vegetarian after. Yeah. That's the thing. I'm vegetarian, but if I were on Survivor, I would not be vegetarian for a few weeks because I don't want to die.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to. Especially on a season where they don't give you rice. I'm like, okay, I will eat whatever. Jeff, give me anything.
Yeah, I will eat a chicken. I will eat chicken.
I will eat
you, Jeff.
Yeah, I'll eat a human at this point, Jeff. I'm starving.
Yeah. Now, as we get in, we've seen kind of like the whole Shan and Ricard. It's been a big theme of this season is Shan and Ricard and their kind of love-hate relationship. Probably more of a love. And then we go into the immunity challenge and just... right.
Well, Liana talked to Shan and Shan talked to Ricard before the immunity challenge.
Yeah, they did. I put it in the outline just in the all the scramble. But yes, they did talk about that before the immunity challenge.
Which I think.
And then Ricard was like, I really have to win. And good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And immunity challenge. Ricard wins.
Ricard won. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable focus. He didn't hear when he won. Granted, he is deaf in his right ear. Mm. But when he did win, he was like, did I win?
So I feel like there's been such a cool, like, from everyone that's been playing, like, when they win, every single one of them is like, oh my gosh, did I actually win?
Yeah.
Much more so than I feel like the normal.
I think because their body is, like, going into ketosis and they just can't, you know, it's not working correctly.
Yeah, it's so fun.
When they have to focus, they, like, literally don't have the energy to hear.
I can't imagine what they're going through. Ricard, and it was Ricard. Liana was one of the last ones.
No, Liana went out first.
Oh, that's right. You're right. Sheesh.
It was Liana and Deshaun and Xander. Xander was second.
Yeah.
Xander and Ricard at the very end.
That's right.
Again, I really could see those two like taking a lot of the challenges for the rest of the game.
If we're looking forward, if we have a Xander Ricard final three.
Ooh.
That's because like Xander has made some pretty good connections with some people on that jury, I think.
Well, and I mean, the respect I hope people would give him for making it that far when everyone's been against him since, you know, episode like four.
Yeah, Liana's sitting there and it's just still. Liana
would not vote for Xander. Yeah.
But, Liana would try and vote him out of the final three.
She'd put his name down and finally be like, finally I'm getting you out of the game.
Oh wow, Liana, bless her heart.
I'm very up in the air on whether he would do well
with like the in final. Yeah. I don't know. Him versus Ricard, I feel like Ricard would take it.
I'm having like, I've been really thinking about it. Like, who are the jury threats? And I think Ricard's one. And I don't know who else is. Like,
yeah.
Nobody else I feel like is gonna earn the votes like Ricard, which makes him a huge threat. Like,
he is the biggest threat right now. For sure.
I really think people are gonna work hard to get him out. And if he, like, the second he doesn't win immunity, like, it might be pretty sketchy for him.
I agree. Imagine if he got Shan's idol somehow.
Well, and that was what I was thinking is he doesn't have any idols, right?
He has nothing.
That's
they
tough.
Use their extra vote to get Nasir out, basically.
Yeah. Oh, and then Xander has two. I mean,
Xander still has two. Yeah. Xander is I don't understand how he hasn't like broken yet and played his idol. He is like so strong-willed. I am amazed that he hasn't played his idol. Maybe he's just, I don't know, scared. Like the whole time,
his brain is just thinking at one thought per hour. Maybe. I don't even know what it would be. I just
feel like I would put my idol so fast. I'd be so scared. I would try to play it like on the reward challenge. Jeff,
I'm just gonna do this now, so no one can vote for me in a day and a half.
Yeah.
Okay, but let's take this time right now. Let's go over some of our favorite Jeffisms before we go into Tribal Council, pre-tribal scramble.
Jeffisms.
What are some of our favorite Jeffisms?
Are we drafting? Are we just chatting? Should we just go like in order?
Yeah, let's just kind of chat about it. We can see.
Okay, who wants to go first?
I want to go first. One of my favorite things is it is somewhat Survivor related because it is Jeff Probst. But do y'all remember the Jeff Probst show?
I do not know what you're talking
about. I know it happened. I never watched it.
I remember watching it. It only lasted, I think, for 3 or 4 seasons. And looking back is like, why couldn't it translate? It was, I think, like one of those earlier morning. It was like an 11 a.m. like interview, like talk show. But like, Jeff is so good at talking with people on Survivor and interviewing normal people.
Well, he did a talk show?
Is he?
Who did he interview?
I thought he was. I always feel like he's pretty good at interviewing and like talking with people. It was similar Live with Regis and Kelly type show.
It's called the Jeff Probst Show.
Yeah.
You're not lying to me.
No, I'm not. No, it was maybe like 2004, 2007.
The Jeff Probst Show.
The show not lasting is.
Episode 170?
That's like 3 or 4 seasons when you're like a daily talk show.
Yeah, right? True.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea that he had a show. It's so funny.
Yeah. Yep. And like, I mean, yeah, it was just like, I think, let's see. I'm trying to think of like generally when it was on, but I feel like I remember it was on.
Oh, it was like September 2012.
Oh, it was September 2012. Okay.
To May 2013. And then they aired some more episodes after that. But yeah, there were.
Also, as a fun fact, if any of y'all have seen Space Ghost Coast to Coast on Adult Swim,
no.
The crudely animated Hanna-Barbera character that did interviews, he interviewed Jeff Probst in, I think, 2004.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Yeah. So just Jeff in random media. He would sometimes fill in on like the Live with Regis and Kelly. He'd sometimes fill in. Just fun.
I saw a video of him today when I was doing some Googling for this. And he went on like Jimmy Fallon, like during in 2020 when like Winners at War was about to, you know, for the Winners at War kind of marketing thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say, I think he's kind of eerie in real life. I feel like when he's not like on a beach, he's very weird. He just like doesn't fit. Oh. Like when he's like wearing normal clothes and not wearing like a Survivor hat.
Huh.
So I'm never going to watch the Jeff Probst show. I will say Jeff belongs on a beach, you know, in his Columbia button up shirt with his Survivor hat and nowhere else.
Hey,
in my
yeah, opinion. The agree. Jeff Probst show though, didn't last very long, but hey, he had a TV show.
I had no idea. Maybe when I'm completely out of Survivor, need that itch, you know?
Yeah.
I don't like to even think about that.
What about Mike? What about you? What are Jeff Probst things?
Okay, my favorite Jeffism. We didn't define this, by the way, so we might all be in different wavelengths here, which is fine. My favorite Jeffism is, I gotta say, Ref Jeff. We've all talked about different Jeffs. I love Ref Jeff when he's like yelling at people to follow the rules, and he's just like, I just love how he will host Jeff and he'll immediately switch to Ref Jeff, and he's like in the water in the challenges, and he's like, you know, I just love that. That's what I think one of the unique parts about Survivors is that the host is like, he doesn't just stand there and like talk or show up once an episode sort of thing. You know, he's like there. That's my favorite Jeffism.
I think it's funny that like he's still not super confident in some of the things that he calls in the show.
Yeah.
Like he's like, oh, you gotta go back. You gotta go back and do it again.
Yeah.
They're already like kind of already there.
Yeah. There was one this season when they like,
yeah,
when they're like pushing the cart. Yeah.
No, you have to go back.
You gotta go back.
No.
I just love it. He anything he says goes. He can say whatever he wants.
Yeah.
And they must obey.
Yep.
Ah, love it. That's mine.
Okay. Spencer, Jeffisms.
Are we going to go around multiple times?
Probably.
Maybe. Well, okay. I think, yeah, like maybe give us a few of yours and we'll just keep talking about them.
One of my favorite moments, I don't know what season it was, but they had a puzzle at the end and they had to put things together to make a phrase. I don't know if it was just letters or a puzzle or whatever. And Jeff's like, when you get to the end, you're going to put together a phrase. That phrase is very familiar if you're a Survivor fan. And then it shows what the phrase is. And I'm like, shut up. It was, you have to dig deep.
Yeah, I remember this. Yeah.
And I was like, that is not a Survivor phrase. Jeff said it like once. And then they did the puzzle. And now he says it like every other episode.
Oh, is that like when he started saying it?
Basically? I swear that's what happened. They had such a hard time putting it together too, because no one thinks of that. Cause it's like, that's not,
it's funny. Cause I watched them out of order. And when I remember that puzzle and I was like, you have to dig deep. Like I could like, I was like screaming at him cause I couldn't figure it out. I'm like, you guys have never seen the show, but that is makes sense. If I was just watching him out of order,
it's like, it's a moment of Jeff self-branding super hard.
Yeah.
I remember when I saw it too, being more like Spencer, I'm like, when have they said this? I had to That's think. So I was like, funny. I don't feel like Jeff ever said
I remember being like, that is totally a Survivor phrase.
It does feel like one, though. It feels like a natural Survivor phrase, though.
Especially when you watch it out of order. Right. Jumping off of that, I do love, I mean, Jeff's phrases. I think they're so funny how he says the same things every single season without fail.
Have you heard
the biggest comeback in Survivor history?
We've talked about this before. He has an internal, very highly accurate clock, and he actually means it every single time. Yeah. It really is.
Beating the previous record of 19 minutes, 26 seconds is Luvu with 18 minutes and 52 seconds.
Yeah, hey, seriously. Our Jeff voice is back.
Yeah. It's indistinguishable.
Yeah. Is there a fourth person in here in this Zoom?
Jeff? Okay, I'm back. All right.
Wow, you sound just like him.
If y'all listen, there is, I forget the name of the podcast, but Jeff was interviewed by a producer on a podcast. And he talks about how like him and Mark Burnett discovered the phrase, the tribe has spoken. It's one of my favorite stories. Spencer, have you heard it? Do you know this?
I'm not sure.
I actually heard it on Jimmy Fallon today. They talked about it.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
I think it's the same one, but basically Mark Burnett
maybe
was like,
not, yeah.
Mark Burnett was like, we need something basically to say, yeah, you're gone. Yeah, we don't want you anymore on the island. Yeah, okay, you're gone. The tribe wants you gone. And Jeff was like, well, what if it's like the tribe has spoken or the something with that? And Mark's like, that's perfect. Let's do it. Let's use it. And then that was it.
You know what's so funny? Jimmy Fallon, literally the story is the opposite.
Really?
Jeff says that they were trying to, him and Mark Burnett, by the way, is he Australian? I guess I'm assuming.
Oh, he's British.
British.
Is that British? Sorry, Kamiko. No. It was my fault. My ears are the one that did it perfect. Jeff told Jimmy Fallon that they were trying to figure out what to say, and then they couldn't figure it out. And then apparently Mark Burnett was just like, what if they say, like, your tribe don't want you no more?
That's what it is. Yep, it was something like that.
And mm-hmm. Jeff is just like, no. And then apparently Mark Burnett was just like, I don't know, the tribe has spoken. Just use something. And then it was just like, he didn't even remember that he said it.
That's probably more of the story. But basically it was like Mark Burnett was like, yeah, the tribe don't want you no more. Yeah, you come.
Imagine Jeff saying the tribe don't want you no more.
Tribe don't want you no more.
Oh, it'd be so funny. I honestly like it better. They should change it.
Yeah, I should just switch it up. My probably this is my last one that I really like, because I love seasons like 1 through 6 where Jeff is still trying to figure it out, and you get Stern Jeff.
Yeah, I like Stern Jeff. Yeah, he's funny.
He walks in. He's not smiling when they go to tribal.
Yeah,
and he's standing up and he's just like giving them all the death stares. They sit down. He's way too strict. It's just it's classic Jeff.
And then as he got older, he's just giggly all the time.
Yeah.
I have a couple more.
Okay.
I like when Jeff leaves tribal council in like a helicopter or a jet ski or whatever.
Oh,
I wish they do that more.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I have this picture that I took of my TV of him on a jet ski. He's like standing up, just jet skiing into the dark Brazilian like river. And it's the funniest picture I think I have. I like that Jeff will talk back to people, even on TV, like when he talked back to Jeff Varner after outing Zeke, and he'll just like argue with them. And like, I do like that. I mean, obviously Jeff's not perfect. We know that, but there's some good moments where he will. Or like when he talks back to Colby, when he offers Colby the chocolate and Colby's like, we don't want it. We're here to play. And Jeff's like, okay, we'll play when I want to play. Like, shut up. And then finally, I love his collection of outdoorsy button-up shirts in every color.
With the weird little back flap on it.
Yeah, like the Columbia brand or, you know, whatever. They look like Columbia shirts. Mm-hmm. And he has his little hats with the Survivor logo. His closet just must be a mess. Like, that's all I got.
A couple I gotta throw in there. when he really likes someone and you know, like in All Stars, when Boston Rob wins the car challenge and then he picks Amber to go with him, but Jeff gets in the front seat. So he can go on the drive.
Like, was Amber just like stuffed in the back?
Amber just had to sit in the back so that they could have a bro date up front.
Oh, speaking of that, when Jeff tries to be like bro-y with like the guy's legs, it's so embarrassing.
Yep.
Like when he's like, okay, brother, and like fist bumps. Oh my goodness. It like gives me the heebie-jeebies. I hate it. I can't stand it.
I love that one. I love when they do the family challenge and Jeff is like, so how does it feel to love someone?
Yeah.
how does it feel to have a mother? And
seriously, I'm like embarrassed to ever be on Survivor, because whoever I picked my loved ones episode, you know, I'm just embarrassed for them. I don't want them to have to go through that.
Yeah. Yep.
I might be like Randy and just put no one, or I'll put one of you guys.
Here's what I think is a moment that I think perfectly encapsulates like Jeff and how far he's come in being the host is in the family visit in season 39. Nora has her sister who comes out, and she is either deaf or blind or something like that. And he's like, hey, Nora's sister, I understand that you have like a vision, says something about her vision. Like, do you want to come run the challenge with me? And he brings her down and she gets to like referee the challenge with Jeff as all the other contestants get to do it. And it's like that kind of attention to detail and like him, to me, feels like he tries to be as personal as he can with each contestant. And that's a great moment that I think has encapsulated where he has come to now, being like tries to be as empathetic as he can and be like as including as he can.
I agree. I think you can see that with this season too. Mm-hmm. He knows we're in this cultural shift, and he's trying to. Man, I know a lot. It's kind of hard because how much of it is just like corporate kind of
responsibility,
fake wokeness. But mm-hmm. I think at least Jeff is hopefully actually like that.
I've got one more. I don't actually know how accurate this is, but I think it's there. There's like a book that Mark Burnett wrote about the first season that I really want to read. And it goes into how like no one took Jeff seriously during the first season. Like the Pagong tribe, which is all the young people, they go to tribal council and just make fun of Jeff. The first time they voted, they all voted for Jeff.
For real?
Yeah. Right?
Did they actually hear that?
No, definitely not. They had to revote and actually vote somebody out, but
oh my goodness.
They just were doing all that stuff. And so the second time the tribe came on, Jeff is like, all right, this is the conch shell. You can only talk when you're holding the conch shell, because apparently like they wouldn't take turns talking the first time they were there. So you get all these little hints of him trying to like take control, but this may just be a legend, but you know how he's like, you want to know what you're playing for? And then he tells them, and then he goes, is that worth playing for? And they're like, yeah,
you know, yeah, Jeff, it is.
So you know. The legend is that he asks that because there was a challenge in season one where the reward was just like one beer, and everyone playing was like, I'm not doing a challenge for a beer. And so they're like, we're not doing that. That's not a good enough reward. And so that's the one where they ended up taking Kelly to this bar where she got to watch the first 10 minutes of the first episode, and Jeff sat down with her and they ate peanuts and drank beer while they watched it. And that was like a last second change because they were all pissed. They're like, one beer isn't enough. We're starving out here.
Wow.
Yeah.
Maybe I should read that book.
So that's why he asked, is that worth playing for?
That's fascinating,
right?
I need to read this.
I do want to read it. Yeah. I have one hate Jeffism. My last one. I just thought about it.
Okay.
Just the fact that Jeff always defends all of his stupid ideas and he's not willing to like say that they're dumb. Jeff, you gotta just It's okay. Yeah.
It not everything ages well. Like not everything is a cult classic. Some things just suck.
Some things just suck, and I don't think Jeff realizes that.
Like the Star Wars prequels.
Hey.
The face Kamiko just made.
Ooh, unfortunately it is.
They are fun because they suck.
Okay.
That is a good enough. That's a good reason.
Thank you.
Red Notice.
Like a hate watch.
Red Notice is not going to be a cult classic. It's just not a good movie, or it's just a bad idea.
You know? But is it even fun? Is it fun as a hate
In other watch? Words, is it Dwayne I Johnson mean. Movie?
Yeah. Sounds pretty
I like
good.
Jungle Cruise.
Okay.
I will never see Jungle Cruise. I'll be honest with you.
It's a good enough time. So those are our favorite Jeffisms. Those are some things that we really like about this man. We love you, Jeff. Come on the pod whenever you want.
Come on.
We will work to your schedule. I'll quit my job. That means you have to do it in the middle of the day. Literally. I will do it.
We will jet ski to Fiji, Jeff.
I will. Do it.
Yeah, yeah, on one jet ski.
Man, I'd be so scared if Jeff was actually on the pod. Okay, no, cut that out, Jeff. We're ready.
Yeah,
dude, I would. Know
that's actually very. That's a.
I'd be like, so, Jeff, you seen Survivor? I mean, never mind.
Hey, Jeff, tell us about Edge of Extinction. Tell us your thought process.
It's gonna be the Chris Farley, Paul McCartney bit on SNL of, hey, Paul, do you remember when you were in the Beatles? yes, Chris, I do. That was cool, right? Yes, Chris, it was. Okay. And then that's it. He just goes to the next question.
Jeff, if you're listening, it's all Jeff, though. We're just
being judges. we'll come totally prepared.
Very professional.
Okay. So this is coming in. We're coming into tribal council. People are scrambling. Basically, they're like, Ricard, we want you gone. And then Liana tells Shan. Shan tells Ricard. Ricard confronts Deshaun. Deshaun lies and is like, I never said that. Yeah. The whole time while he's like, the worst liar.
The worst liar.
So apparent that he's lying.
He's terrible, yeah.
And then Ricard, I have decided that today is the day to vote out Shan.
Ricard is the only one in this trio. I mean, kind of a foursome, but like the Liana Shan, because Liana was immediately told Shan, you know, because of personal reasons. Shan immediately told Ricard because of personal reasons. None of them were able to just be like, I mean, maybe they did, thought about the game, you know, what was better for them in the game, but it seemed like they were just like, personal reasons, I gotta tell you. And then Ricard, the only one who was just like, I love you, Shan, but yeah, I want to win $1 million. So he's the only one that actually did anything. And yeah.
If I was Shan and I told Ricard and he reacted like he did, where he's like, why did you just tell me that?
Oh, yeah.
I would have had a heart attack right there.
Seriously.
Like, I immediately ran out into the ocean and been like, I'm swimming home. I'm out.
Well, and also for Shan, immediate red flags. Like, you know, he loves me. I love him. We're very close. But like, he's playing the game. I should be playing a little bit better, you know?
Yeah.
I thought it was so funny that he said that. He's like, I can't believe you told me. And Shan was like, what do you mean? And he's like, oh, no, I just mean like, you know, it's just very nice for you to tell me. Yeah. He almost got himself into a bit of trouble there. But, oh, so funny.
When Deshaun was lying and failing miserably, my wife's really good at gift giving, but there's this thing where I'll just start guessing what the gift is, not because I know what it is, but because if I ever happen to guess right, I'll immediately know from her reaction.
Oh yeah.
And Deshaun kind of gave me those vibes when he's like, were you gonna vote me out? And he's just like, no.
Yeah. Ricard's like, Shan told me you did this exact thing. And he's like, no. And then like confessional, he's like, I did do that. Narrator voice. He did do this.
Yeah. Got him. Definitely fell for it. Definitely tricked him.
He would be terrible at like Among Us, I feel like.
Sus. Deshaun vented.
Absolutely terrible. Yeah.
Yeah.
He would not.
Even if he was innocent, definitely bad at him.
Is that bringing up eighth grader vibes,
that,
Spencer?
That took me to last year.
Oh, hey, you know what? Among Us is actually fun. Do you guys want to play? We want to play in the next couple weeks.
It's fun.
If you do it in like a private group, it's fun.
No, yeah, I don't play with randoms. We play like with a group, and it is like on Discord. It is fun.
Here's
yeah.
the problem, though. I've played some games with some friends, and they're the kind of people who are gamers, and they optimize everything they play. And they optimized Among Us. And that is not fun. It means like they can catch every lie you tell them. If you're a new player and they're like, where were you when that person died? And you're like, I was in this room. They're like, no, you weren't. That's impossible. And you're like, fine, I don't want to play. I'm done.
Okay, Spencer, you may not want to play with us, but Kamiko, you can if you want.
I'm just here for a good time.
But yes, last year.
Not competitive at all.
All the kids were playing it last year.
Did you ever do it in class? Did you ever play it in class?
No way, dude.
I just assume that class is just like movie class and you just goof around.
Yeah, well, you don't teach anything, right?
You occasionally teach stuff.
What do you actually even teach?
Critical race theory.
No, I'm just kidding.
Yes!
We knew it. We knew it, brother.
Actually, I have to watch my back. No one listens to this. I don't teach critical race theory. I would like to keep my job.
Wait, what do you actually teach, though? What's your subject?
U.S. history.
Super sick.
I also teach psychology, which is a blast.
Oh, that would be fun. Both of those are some of my favorite, what's it called? Subjects in college.
Yeah, I would be an English teacher. I thought about being an English teacher for a long time.
I'd love to teach film after I make a $1 billion.
Go, dude, I want to teach film. Oh, that's easy. That'd be so fun.
Yeah, it'd be really fun.
Never too late, Spencer. You're only 45. No, 19. I don't know. I literally don't know. 29. What are you actually? 28.
I just turned 30.
30. The big 30.
I know.
Age is just a number. I mean,
yeah. Nothing happened.
Right. It's just another year.
Happy 28th.
Thank you.
Happy 28th. So as we get close, as right as they're about to enter into tribal council, someone is like, I think we should vote Erica.
Yeah.
Because
I
don't know what it is, but everyone, they're like, a lot of times they'll plan like a really good tribal council and they're like, this is what we got to do. And then as they go in, they pick the safe bet and they vote them out.
That's what I thought was going to happen for real, because no way Shan's going home, you know?
That's exactly what I thought. So they go in, but the plan before they go in is let's split the vote between Shan and Liana, because if it ends up being a tie, we'll just vote for Shan if she doesn't play her idol. And that is what happens.
It's funny that you mentioned the safe vote thing, because a lot of episodes will do that. They'll say, hey, voting Shan out. But then there's like as much content of like, hey, we're voting Eric out. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, what's going to happen at Tribal? And I honestly don't think there was like enough people talking about voting Eric out. And so it turned not into like a Shan versus Eric thing, but just like a will Shan player idol. And then we vote Liana out thing. Because, and it's funny because if that is actually how it was, how did Shan and Liana not hear about this? Like all six of the other people are talking about this and had this plan. Where were they? Which is crazy because of how controlling, not in a bad way, but in the game, Shan was, you know?
Yeah, it is impressive. Yeah. You never really saw Shan talking to the people that weren't in the alliance, though.
She, for sure.
And, but Shan's like, I'll bet she'll play again. She got, she got like the hero's death edit where like you realize she's getting voted out before she's voted out, and like it slows down and the music gets all epic and it's like,
yeah,
the show is like, this is a big deal, you gotta pay attention. Like,
yeah,
I remember the clearest one I can remember like that is when Rupert was voted out of Pearl Islands.
Yeah,
I know, they're like, we're losing the center of the season, he's gonna be gone, and then the season still is the best ever.
Rupert, but the strategic powerhouse.
Obviously he was like the big character for different reasons.
This is, yeah. Yeah, Shan will definitely come back. I could see her back in the next 5-6 seasons. The fans were his favorites, or I would love a heroes versus villains too, but she better be in the villains tribe. If they bring her as a hero, I will not buy that. I will not watch.
She's like an awesome villain because she's somewhat villainous, but she's not a bad person.
She feels like an anti-hero to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's kind of how good survivor villains are. Like, you're not like a rude person. You're just like, you do villainous things.
You're devious. Sneaky,
devious.
You're planning devious licks.
Yeah. It's like, it's not heroes versus villains.
Shut up.
Heroes versus devious people.
Gosh, Kamiko.
I knew Spencer would like that because this is the school year of devious licks, aka TikTok. Mike, you know what devious licks are, right?
No, I'm so.
It's like high school TikTok trends of like, they were like taking sinks out of like bathrooms and like you're supposed to like slap administrators, just dumb hairs.
No, here's the thing that I love about devious licks is the first trend was steal something from the school, which is like most edgy kids are willing to do that. Like rip a soap dispenser off the bathroom wall. I can do that. Right. Yeah. Then the next month is slap a teacher. Like the gap is like this wide. No one's going to make that jump. Right,
Spencer. Was it? Did you have any attempted slaps or no?
No,
to fight any kids off.
I teach in Utah, middle schoolers. Like the edgiest thing they'll do is giggle when I say the name of our governor. His name is Spencer Cox. A couple kids giggle.
Oh, that is that's pretty edgy, actually.
That's as edgy as they'll get, man.
Yeah.
Oh gosh, my humor has not evolved since eighth grade because I just died laughing at that when you said that. Because I still thought it was Gary Herbert. I didn't even know that Spencer Cox was our stupid
even
governor.
I know that. I don't even live there anymore.
It's only been like a year, Kamiko. It's okay.
Kamiko.
Well, I guess I was living in Arkansas for
your
the last
civic
3 years.
Your duty, Kamiko, is apparently to know who the governor is.
I'm not even registered to vote in Utah. I could vote in the Arkansas primaries if I
want. Big yikes, Kamiko. I'm not registered to vote in Colorado yet. Okay. I will.
We'll keep it here on the pod.
I'm not allowed to be your friends anymore.
Oh, yeah. His U.S. job. History teacher. Yikes.
So Shan, as she goes down, I scream at the TV because I realize I only have one person left. And it's my least favorite person. And also the person that as Shan leaves is Ricard. You just earned my vote for $1 million. Deshaun, you're a snake.
Oh, dude. What
Which is
exit.
Funny because it was Erica's idea to split the vote.
I know. I really feel like Deshaun like lied to Ricard and like he wanted to get Ricard out, but like so did Danny and like everyone else. I don't know.
They she just had, their she had spat issues with Deshaun. They did not like
she,
each other.
She had issues with Deshaun. I will say, sorry, real quick. I would say saying, Ricard, you have my vote for $1 million is the worst way to you know, help your friend on Survivor.
That's like almost like she's trying to tank him.
Literally, I feel like she's big brain, universe brain, and actually wants Ricard to lose.
Yeah.
But the fact that she was like so emotional, I think it just like took over and she just like, Ricard, you have my vote. But it was dumb.
Really dumb. Here, I didn't think about this till right now, but do you think, obviously her and Deshaun had issues anyway, but
yeah,
is there an element of like the racial alliance they had? Clearly that was a really important thing to them and they struggled with it a lot. It's almost like she immediately forgave Ricard because he wasn't actually part of that. And there's none of those like complicated feelings around it.
Yeah, maybe. Could see that. They also though had that understanding. They talked about it multiple times that they were going to vote each other out at some point.
Yeah,
they knew too. That they weren't going to make it to the end together.
Yeah.
And it was just Shan didn't think it was time, but it's been time since whenever you guys wanted it to be time. You guys are the two biggest threats.
Yeah.
But
I should say that you guys are the co-buffs of the week. Because y'all both predicted Shan to get voted out.
We did both predict.
Holy cow.
Yep.
I didn't even remember.
I don't think I've ever predicted correctly.
Since initiating the buff of the week, none of us have gotten it right.
Wow. My ego is huge right now.
So, can't get them all.
Can I brag about something?
Unless, you're the buff of the week, of course.
Of course, buff of the week.
My memory may be wrong on this, but I'd have to check. Do we have record of what our final three predictions were?
Yeah,
I have been trying to find mine. I cannot find mine.
Spotify podcast, reason. Apple podcast, wherever you get your podcast.
Shut up.
True. Okay, because my mind may be trying to make me feel better about myself, but I'm pretty. I know I picked Erica to win, and I know I put Heather in the final three.
Yeah,
I think I picked Erica, Heather, and Liana as my final three. And I don't think they're going to be the final three, but
those are my three left on the draft. I would love that.
I just got excited because I was like, did I pick the final three on accident? Like, that'd be cool.
Real quick, speaking of Erica, because I think Ricard is too big of a target, it'd be hard for him to make it to the end. Mm-hmm. Erica literally could win. Like, she is sneaky. And I saw when she was talking to Danny, I was so impressed when she was like, hey, Danny, who are your biggest threats? Just like wondering. And he's just like, oh, like Ricard and Shan, honestly. And she just like, would you ever make a move against Shan? You know, like very casually. And he's like, I mean, maybe. And she's like, okay, cool. Well, here's our plan. And she like, she got Danny, like for real, and Deshaun, because they were kind of did it together.
Well, and for how angry Deshaun gets when people tell him what to do, he didn't get mad at Erica.
Seriously, I just don't think they've shown a lot of Erica, but I think she is going to be a big, she really could make it to the end. I really could see it.
With how worried everybody is about her, everyone's like, she's a threat. She's scary. True. We should vote her out. Danny thought she was a bigger threat than Shan at one point, I guess.
That's true.
It does make me think that if she made the finals, they would respect her.
Yeah.
If they're so afraid of her, like they probably think she's doing amazing or something.
Right.
So she might be a jury threat.
At this point, every single person left will have at least, if they make it to the final three, will get at least one vote. I don't think there's a single person that blanks out votes.
Heather
would be the most, but I think there's one person that would actually maybe give Heather a vote.
Liana. I'm not sure about Liana.
It's so hard because it depends on who the other two are. Oh, you don't think?
But Liana, I think Shan.
Yeah, I don't think Liana. I could see Liana getting no votes.
I could also. I think that's her and Heather are my two that I could see.
Yeah.
But I do think Kamiko's right in that most people would get votes.
And like, Liana, there's not anyone as egregiously awful as like a Philip.
Right.
Or and like everyone, an Abby.
Right. Abby.
Yeah.
Oof, yeah. No Abby's this season.
So I think I got excited when Shan was voted out, not because I don't like Shan, or anything like that. But because her getting voted out, like, just changes all the dynamics so much. And I was thinking about who's left, and I'm just like excited because there's Ricard's kind of a front runner, but I really don't think he's going to make the end. I just feel like everyone's going to gun for him.
Yeah. And could see that.
If Ricard doesn't make it to the end, who is the front runner? Is there one? I don't
think there is one. I think, I think it's the people in back are all now going
to. Yeah. And that's what's so exciting to me because it's been a while since. When's the last
I know. Day? Yeah. Maybe. Cause they always let the big threat get to the end for whatever dumb reason.
Yeah. And so I'm going to be really excited if we get to a final three and we genuinely have no idea who's going to win. Like that doesn't happen very much.
It's like every season. I feel like once you get to like episode 10, 11 around there, there's always that one person and everyone always talks about like, they're a big threat. Oh, what, we should vote this person out who hasn't done anything. And then they always just let them go.
Freaking Winners at War, dude.
Yeah, seriously.
Oh, it made me so angry.
Tony.
Yeah, I think one of the things I want to relate it to is I immediately thought of this is like, so me and Becky, we went through a phase where we loved watching RuPaul's Drag Race. And there's an infamous moment in All-Stars season 4 where basically the person who's playing the best and doing the best gets voted out by like someone who won one time and only one time and got to pick who got to go. And that's what happened. And that's how I could see this is like Ricard is going, then all of a sudden something crazy happens and he's gone just from one moment to the next. The most deserving person to win is just out of game.
And that's honestly how Survivor should be. It mm-hmm. should be the people that are make the moves at the perfect times to get the big players out. You should never let a big power player go 13 episodes in a row, 26 days in a row, because you should be taking them out and they never very rarely do it.
That's like, I feel like that's actually Survivor 101 is don't be a power player.
Yeah, literally. Don't. That's why Shan. I mean, yeah. I think in the bottom of our sad hearts right now, we all knew that Shan couldn't make it because she did play just too hard.
She
would have been a great winner, but
she flew too close to the sun.
She girl bossed way too hard to the sun.
I was going to say the girl boss part too. But as we get ready for the next episode, is there anything we feel like is going to happen? Who do we think's going out next time? I'm going to just guess Ricard.
I could see if they're smart, they would do it, but he's a challenge beast now. So
yeah,
I think people will try to get Ricard. He might win immunity again. I'm trying to think of who else. Like, I feel like Deshaun and Danny are still going to stick together.
Mm-hmm.
People forget about? I guess no, they didn't forget about Xander. They just still think he's going to play Seidel, and he never does. And they need him for bigger votes.
Yeah,
I'm wondering if Xander is going to be a target soon because, like, he's dangerously close to just advantaging himself to like the final four.
Literally, he's about to bend himself to the end.
Yeah, and I'm wondering if people are going to realize that and be like, we gotta get him now.
Yeah.
Yes. I hope they do.
Yeah, they should. Xander is another example of he's been a power player. He's been in control of a lot of things. I mean, admittedly from the back a little bit, but he has,
You know who's going to vote for Xander?
Liana.
Oh, yeah.
Tiffany.
Totally.
No matter what happens, Liana's voting for Xander. It's going to be interesting immunity to see.
And she's going to vote for him.
It's going to be interesting to see the Liana versus Deshaun Danny fallout that's going to happen.
Yeah.
They showed a preview of that, and she was very mad.
Yep.
And then
she joins
Heather and Erica, and then they get all the men out, and then my final three prediction comes true.
Honestly, if they made the end, that would be amazing for them.
I think I had Liana winning. I think I picked Liana winning.
She's not winning, buddy. I just don't think she win. She might get to the end. I don't think she win. She's clueless. I love Liana, but she is clueless. She has not made any moves.
I'm trying to think of she wins if she goes up against Heather in the end. And maybe Danny.
Nope. I don't think she beats Danny. I do not.
Actually, I could see it being close between
her I and do Danny. not I don't buy your guys' theory that Danny's a goat. I don't think he's a goat.
What has he done?
He has been a goat up till now, though.
He has not done a single thing in the game, Spencer. Except for vote along with Deshaun and Liana and Shen most of the time. And been on the winning tribe pre-merge and never had to go to tribal.
But everybody likes Danny, and that matters.
Yeah, that's true.
But I don't even feel like I've seen many people interact with Danny.
And there's not two other people that people hate that would make that a big issue.
I don't know, Erica?
That's true. People don't like Erica.
Yeah.
It's
so weird to me that they don't like Erica.
I know. She seems so sweet. I have to say something about Liana real quick because, Kamiko, I wrote this down from this episode.
Okay.
Danny goes up to Liana, middle of the episode, and he says, hey, Liana, calls her over, and he goes, someone's gaining a lot of steam in this game. And Liana goes, Shan. And Danny's like, oh, no. And Liana's like, oh, Erica. And Danny's like, no. And Liana's like, Ricard? And he's like, yes.
That was so funny.
So good.
That was great.
Oh, that's Danny, right.
Danny was a teacher for a minute.
Yeah, literally. He's like, yep. No. Oh, poor Liana.
Head. Guess the answer in my head.
I do love Liana, and I love how sweet she is, and she seems just like very lovely, but I can't see her winning against maybe Danny and Heather. Maybe.
Just manifest it. Okay, what did y'all say your predictions were for winning? Geez.
Oh, for winning?
Or not for winning, for getting out?
Well, my prediction for winning is Erica, by the way. For going out, I don't
know. I'm going to go with Xander.
I literally have no idea. I'm just going to say Suri. Just kidding.
Never gets old.
That joke will always be funny.
Survivor Suri.
I honestly want to say Xander too, but I'll go with Ricard.
Okay.
Wait, you went with Ricard, Kamiko, didn't you?
Yeah, but y'all both picked Shan last time.
Oh, shoot. No, you know what? I'm going to say Deshaun.
Okay. Okay.
Not to be mean to Kamiko, though it is a little funny if you did lose all your characters appeal, but I could see him going home for real. He's been irking a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sorry, Kamiko.
No, but
Deshaun might be a goat because everybody has issues with Deshaun.
Oh, Deshaun could be a goat.
True.
Man, we are tangenty today.
It has been day 12, aka episode 12.
Recap. Kamiko's ending it. Good.
Season 41, episode 10. We did a great job today. It was a very good episode. Very good day. Very good take. But yeah, we're going to move on to the next episode next week. Spencer, happy birthday. I believe you had something else you needed to tell us, though, right?
You have to dig deep. No, I'm just kidding. I got nothing for you.
I have a lot for you, but I won't say anymore. We'll end it.
Oh.
Yeah. In a tangenty mood. I don't know. Just want to chat.
Mike, you gotta say the thing.
Bye.